This is Allison Goodman here at Lost and Rewound on Radio Free Brooklyn. It is time to get embarrassed with us.
I thought I was also in the green room. Hello. Hi. Hey.
This is Lost and Rewound, and who? Wait. There was a third voice there. What?
Third voice.
This is Lost and Rewound on Radio Free Brooklyn. My name is Alon.
I'm Jimmy.
Hey, I'm Doug. I'm
back. What? Yeah.
Back in the studio.
We are always happy to listen to what you have to submit to the show at lostandrewound@gmail.com.
That's right. Again, the show is here to go into the past, to dive into the tapes, to find, again, any sort of audio treasures you have, audio time capsules, so we can go back and, you know, just get a glimpse into, you know, our own future. That's how you got to look back to look forward. You know what I'm talking about?
This is correct. Connect the dots to see how we got from there to here.
Yeah. But again, this ain't free. So if you guys would like, you can, again, help sponsor our show or sponsor the station, because we ain't making no dough. So, again, if you want to do that, you can go to radiofreebrooklyn.com/pledge, or you can, again, sponsor our show directly at radiofreebrooklyn.com/LAR.
The arts. It's really important now, more than ever.
Soon, there'll be no arts.
I hope not. That's really grim, dude. Grimmy Jimmy.
Well, if you know Nate, maybe we'll have arts. This is the key. You gotta spend money to make money. I'm talking about.
How you been, Doug?
Great. How you been, Alon?
I've been tired. I've been growing a huge beard.
Yeah, dude. You're looking like a mensch over there.
Do you have a beard goal? Or is it just for fun? Or what's up?
I'm looking forward to getting out of Chia Pet status. Let's just say that.
All right.
Oh, God. I can't get that way. Like, if I try to go that far, they're going to stop me in the airport, and I just can't.
Once again, if you want to contribute to Lost and Rewound or Radio Free Brooklyn, those sites, again, are, and also to contribute to maybe giving me a fucking haircut or a beard trim. No, don't do that. RadioFreeBrooklyn.com/LAR for direct sponsorship, and to the site as a whole, RadioFreeBrooklyn.com/pledge. We got another guest coming in 1 second. And also, we're going to be talking about some of my clips today, because fuck it, why not?
So we'll be back right after these messages.
Returning to Lost and Rewound in the new broadcast formation is our friend Doug Bledgy.
Hello, Alon.
Welcome to the studio.
Thank you for having me here.
Thank you for being back. A kind of an amusing occurrence that now we've got a tale of two Dougs in the studio.
Hi, I'm Doug 2.
Doug, wait, who?
Well, no. That you're Doug 1.
I don't know. I'm not here to fight for the throne.
It's DJ and DB.
Yeah, okay. But out of respect DJ for the other Doug, I think for the rest of this, I will be going by Bledgy, my last name. So from now,
or the Bledgester or Bledgerino.
Any variations of that name will work.
So I know for a fact that you continue. And still haven't. We got to definitely touch base on what you've been up to DJ-wise. But your DJ name is Bledgenator?
It's not, but that...
why did I think it was...
I hope you do that to every DJ.
Yeah, like everybody who comes... Like, tell me about so how Tom, your DJ name is Bledgenator.
So, Tom, your name is Tominator?
Yeah. My DJ name is DJ Doug Dealer, which okay. is... That's just the most current one.
I like it.
You've had other ones, though.
And this is Doug approval.
Yeah. The one that stuck the most throughout the years that I retired about 3 or 4 years ago, which it was DJ Burger King Sexy was the name.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, my friend just has a – I just saw his in a band. It's like someone's Burger Rickshaw.
Wow.
It's like 4 different words for all the members of the band.
Yeah. When I started DJing, I've been DJing since I was a kid, but I mean, like, when I started DJing with, you know, like a program, like Ableton or whatever, I was about 19, and I was walking through this town area, like, it was like 12 at night or whatever, and it was this kind of a bar town, Long Island, Huntington Village. I had just gotten a pizza, but I had a Burger King cup with me because for some reason this pizza place had stocked all these Burger King cups there. And this girl passed by, like this drunk girl, and like she was trying to say something nice, I guess, but all that came out was like she just saw the cup and was like, "Hey, Burger King, sexy." And that ultimately was – I went back to my car and I was like, I got the name. I had a gig that
sometimes
month.
The stars align.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'd used that until about I was like 26 or so. And then, like, I don't know, I felt a little silly about it. I stopped using it.
Doug, did a woman ever give you a DJ name and you were like, I'll think about that?
No is the answer to that.
I had a friend give me the name that I used and I'm – going to possibly, I'm going to try to possibly foray into hip hop again.
Right. Yeah.
But my friend goes, dude, he goes, have you ever, and he said it to me actually as a name I should use for a regular band, but I thought I would use it for hip hop. He goes, dude, if you ever get a band, Jimmy, your band should be Jim Jammer and the Skillionaires.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Oh my God.
And in that moment, I was like, that's amazing. Like, yeah. I can't even, and dude, like, even for years, if you go online, like my Instagram is still Slim Jim Jammer.
Yeah.
So that's the thing is when I started doing hip hop, I was like, oh, I'm going to be Jim Jammer.
Yeah.
I added the Slim because of.
Because why not?
Yeah.
Come on. You know?
Slim Jim Jammer and the Skillionaires.
As many superlatives as you can pack into your name as possible. Yeah.
Exactly.
It really makes it better.
Exactly.
Having such a wordy name like me, I always was trying to figure out how I could create such a easily flowing DJ or MC name.
E3, we got it already.
I guess we do.
Crazy, E3, dude. And
crazy then if, Egon.
And crazy then, Egon.
And again, if anybody ever asks, you can just be like, yo, I got to tell you on the court. I can't. I got to show you. Well, you want to know who E3 is? I got to show you.
But Alon, though, I'm actually though curious, though, how did you get the name Dance-a-thon Alon?
That was Chris Ehrman, a.k.a. Chris Goldteeth, back in 2008.
Yeah, I know. It was before I used to hang around the karaoke bars of Brooklyn. I think I I came into the fold around January of 2010,
yes.
I think. And yeah, you're still in my phone as Dance-a-thon Alon.
That's cool.
You're under D.
For Danziger.
Danziger. I mean, there's all sorts of different ways you could.
The incredible dancing Danziger.
Exactly. Actually, I recently, for what it may be worth, I have gotten into this whole rhythm of dancing on comedy shows. So if y'all have anybody who's looking
that
for.
That does sound funny.
An improvised dancer for your comedy shows that you know of. Like, you almost spit out your coffee.
Do you budget. Stand to the side, kind of like a sign language translator?
Maggie Lally, out in QED in Astoria, tapped me to be on her variety show, and she asked me what song I was going to do. I was like, well, technically, I really don't have a song I want to do. You could pick the song, and I don't know what it will be until I'm up there. So that's what I did, and it ended up being some like recent remix of Time After Time. But it was like an aughts version. And
I could see you being like the choreographer in Napoleon Dynamite. Like, you're showing him how to, like, let me show you how this dude is right.
That's basically what happened.
Yeah.
It was basically like a Napoleon Dynamite-esque dance that went for 3.5 minutes with improvised choreography. So, yeah, that's what I do now. But back when I did,
that's your thing now.
This is my new career opportunity. Again, like the same
if
way.
I'm not here in the studio. I am dancing on somebody's stage in Brooklyn or Queens.
Are you teaching improv dance at UCB anytime soon?
Shoot, no, man. I don't know if I'm cut out for that.
What was that music video with Christopher Walken the same way?
Rockefeller. No, sorry, not Rockefeller Skank. That would be Weapon of Choice.
You know, yes. That's your style. That's what you do. If you could get some aerial tricks to add to your. If you took off from the stage at any point, I wouldn't be surprised.
There's no way I could touch Walken. There's no way.
Well, I think you'd have to get into a ribbon dancing class or something to really expand your repertoire.
Yeah, no, and that video really just, that's kind of the state of the art for that sort of thing.
It's
yeah.
funny, though, Doug, that you mentioned ribbon dancing because that's yet another Spike Jonze-directed music video with Sofia Coppola. Chemical Brothers, Pico.
Electric Bank.
Thank you. Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Pico's the track after.
Right.
Dig Your Own Hole.
Well, so that one featured her doing ribbon dancing.
Right.
In really amazing work.
Oh, that I remember watching that video on 12 Angry Viewers back in, like, I guess 1997 or 98. Does anybody remember that show?
It sounds familiar.
Drawing a blank.
Crickets.
This is MTV, though, yeah?
MTV, yeah. It was a show that came on, I think, daily, every weekday.
What was the name again?
12 Angry Viewers. And the premise of the show was that 12 selected people would watch three videos. They'd rank them. They'd give them, I think, a rating of 1, 2, 3. Whatever got ranked up the most points at the end of the episode would go into heavy rotation on MTV. I really don't think that's true because I don't think anything that won, I think just MTV just would play what was popular. It didn't really matter. But, I found out about a few things, from that. That was the first time I'd ever heard of, Blink-182.
Sure.
The video for Damn It was on it. And
the rest is history.
Yeah. It all started with 12 Angry Viewers. They didn't win, though. I don't think anything I liked won.
Because your taste was just too good.
I was just too good. It was just too, like, niche.
Oh, you do have events that correlate with the world of music videos still. Is that correct?
Yeah, although there's nothing booked currently. I run the first time I was on this show.
Yes.
I had just formed the Teenage Guide to Popularity yes. with my best friend Alicia Kennedy. What we are is a music video VJ group. So we just book parties, places, and we just play videos. The most recent one we did was a Christmas party.
Cool.
Occasionally we do stuff that's just DJing. We did an NXS themed party back in October. But right now, it's funny to say that we're on hiatus because she and I still hang out multiple times a week. Like, we're getting dumplings after this. But, like,
sure.
But there's nothing booked for Teenage Guide to Popularity currently. The thing that I've been doing lately is a DJ party. It's an indie dance party called Young Adult Friction. I think that's kind of it, is that we're both focusing on other projects right now. That's mine.
And what is Young Adult Friction all about?
Young Adult Friction is a dance party that's billed as an indie alt dance party, which is unfortunate because
that means no dancing.
Yeah. It was unfortunate because we started this party back in July, and I'm not saying that the alt-right didn't exist back then, but it became very popular in the last few months. So now I'm a little bit concerned that people will see the name and think that this is a fascist party. But
oh, no.
But it's not. It's a totally fun.
No armbands. You'll be all right.
Yeah. It's an extremely fun, equal opportunities party in which we play Indian alternative music. So what that means is pretty much anything that could be skewed in that direction. Everything from 70s David Bowie to current things like Tame Impala, or we also kind of go a little bit more, I don't want to say obscure, but we try to keep it like a last party. I played something from the new Priests album, which just came out yesterday or last week. We keep it fresh, we keep it new, but we also play the classics. We play stuff from 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 20 years ago, 40 years ago, all that kind of fall under that sort of indie or alternative umbrella. And it's always danceable. It's very much a dance party.
It's Valentine's Day coming up. You probably have something in the cooker, no?
I don't. I was trying to book one of my slow dance parties, but no one's No one's bit this year. I have a slow dance party called Closer, and I was going to try to do that one, but it just, yeah, was not in the cards this year, unfortunately.
Is that the nature of just getting the heads in the door and finding the right bar that's willing to
Yeah, it's about like
cooperate?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I didn't, that one, it's like this year out, I just wrote to one place, and they're thinking that they'd be into it, but they haven't gotten back. So, no Closer this year. Maybe sometime over the summer there'll be a Closer. But the next Young Adult Friction is, well, it's either going to be on March 3rd or March 4th at El Cortez.
And where can people find out more information about that?
Facebook.com/YoungAdultFrictionParty.
Sweet. I was curious about, in the realm of music videos, because of some ideas that I had for the themes of this episode, I was curious for the gentleman at the table here, what was the first music video that you guys remember arousing you?
Ooh, I got this right away. Should I? I'll go last. Or wait, no, do you guys have to think about
it? I have to think about it.
Okay. So for me, I know exactly what it was. Cause I got cable in the fall of 1993. I still remember everything that was big, top 10 at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And the first video that aroused me that I saw that was big in the fall of 93 was for Shoop by Salt-N-Pepa.
That's valid.
I remember seeing that
That's
video.
That's got something for everybody.
Yeah. I remember seeing that video, and that was like the first time where I was like, ooh. Like, you know, like I just kind of bit my little index finger, you know, like.
Yeah.
That definitely was the first like video where I watched it and was definitely aroused.
Yeah, Jimmy?
I remember, yeah. It was the Wicked Game video.
Ooh.
On that beach.
Good call.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember.
What's that model's name?
I just looked her up because I was like, I was looking to see, and I was like, and now I'm looking back and I'm like, wow. I wasn't wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
who was it?
Yeah, what's the model's name?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. What's her name?
Wicked Game Video Girl. And yeah, always be. She was like a big. To me.
Helena Christensen.
Yes, oh, right, of course. Helena Christensen. Yeah,
I cheated. Sorry.
I mean, I like the song now more, honestly. But it's
a good karaoke
it can be,
song.
It can be really annoying. when people sing it, they can't sing.
Oh, and
they
I
try
mean,
to hit that note. That. Because that's like that's,
you have to have the right venue for
it's,
something like that.
It's his note. There's yeah. very few musicians that have their own note.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's hard to sing. But I will say, the second time I was on Lost and Rewound, I was on it with my girlfriend at the time, Crystal Hernandez, and she used to sing that at karaoke all the time. And
yes,
it was beautiful. Like she just did an amazing
job. I believe it. I remember her voice being very, very sultry and wonderful.
She
could rock it out. And I guess it ultimately depends on the venue because at a younger venue where kids may not necessarily know, difficult to convince.
We would usually go to karaoke at Beast of Bourbon, which I don't think they do it there anymore.
No,
but that
don't.
Was on. And I was in like the like
it's
the
in Bed-Stuy, yeah,
Bed-Stuy,
it's
like Clinton Hill area.
Dougie J.
I don't know if I found one that meets that exact criteria, but two came to mind. I remember getting in trouble for watching the Rump Shaker video. that was sort of an instant classic in that genre.
Check, yeah. Baby, check, baby, check.
And I remember being excited when the video for Sir Mix-a-Lot's Put 'Em on the Glass would come on the box.
Oh, man, the box.
Oh, my. Just that phrase, put 'em on the glass.
Put 'em on the glass, yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah, and I saw it more than one time, and I would think, oh, man, I hope that comes on again. But it was unpredictable because it was the box.
One video that will always stand out around 95 was Fantasy by Mariah Carey. And because at that time, I started to realize, oh, shit, she got really hot.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was really gorgeous.
And
is that the one on the tire? That's, no,
that's the one in the amusement park.
That's the amusement park one. Right, right. The one on the tire has always been my baby, I think.
Well, I mean, she didn't.
The tire swing.
She did not stray from my radar with subsequent music videos. I mean, really, when you had, what was it, Honey and then
the
Heartbreaker.
Honey video.
Honey, Heartbreaker, those three flagship singles from subsequent albums.
Yeah.
Banging out the park. Just sexy,
for
Mariah
sure.
Carey, inner prime.
Yeah.
She's crazy as a yeah. coconut now.
Yeah, yeah. But those were, I mean, those were really jams. I mean, I feel like at the time I did not appreciate Honey, and now every time I hear it, I'm just like, this is a fucking sick song, that piano.
It was a good roller skating song at the time.
Yeah.
Doug, you.
Hey, buddy.
You did DJing at roller skating rinks.
Ice skating.
Ice skating.
Primarily, yeah.
Oh.
Different vibe. Colder.
tell me what it was like DJing ice skating rinks.
I mean, I don't know. It was fun. I was like a junior in high school, so I worked for a mobile DJ company, and one of the gigs they had was the ice skating rink, and the fully adult guys who did it were like, it's too cold. I don't want to deal with the kids. You want to do it, so you go do it. So I would go pick up like the mobile DJing rig and plug into the sound system at the ice skating rink. It was in College Park, Maryland, and my ex-girlfriend was one of the like rink guards. I don't know, it was a lot of fun. I got to play like whatever I wanted, but I also had to like play stuff that people wanted to hear.
Couple skating?
Yeah, there was plenty of that.
Not as graceful as roller skating rink.
I got to bring my like friends to hang out there sometimes.
Sure.
And that was always a good time. I think the one that sticks out of my mind was playing Slam by Onyx.
Amazing.
It was pretty fun. I remember people dancing to it in the room where you like take off your skates and like being mad that they had left. And I played that on purpose because when I went roller skating as a much younger person, when in like 10 or 11, they wouldn't play any rap because it was only for teen night, because they wouldn't play anything explicit for kids.
So you had to be over 16?
You had like a teen night where it was like 13 plus roller skating rink when I was a kid.
Got it.
So then later when I had the chance to DJ the ice skating rink, I was like, I'm going to play whatever I want. Even though it was 5 years later and no one cared about Slam anymore, it was still pretty fun.
What was your first DJ gig, Budgie?
First DJ gig I can remember would have been like in middle school, like DJing like a friend's party or something like that, like a pool party. But I have an interesting gig, a more interesting story about a would-be gig. More interesting than mine?
Why you gotta be? Why it's not a competition?
No, I'm saying I'm more than my
Battle of the Ducks.
I love the idea that it was immediately taken that I'm trying to outdo you as opposed to my boring middle school story.
Not outdo him. Outdug him.
Fuck everybody in this room. I got better stories than y'all. What would have been my first DJ gig in Brooklyn was booked at what was it called? The Royal Oak back in 2011. So you know what? It wasn't my first gig ever because I did DJ at Freddy's before that. But it was supposed to be like a big like, ooh, it's like a Saturday night and like it's gonna all my friends from Brooklyn. I didn't live in Brooklyn yet. I lived in
Long Island still, yeah.
Yeah. So this was either 2010 or 2011. And I had the Facebook invite, I had the whole thing going. I'm like, this is going to be a big break. And that, like, I was like, okay, cool. I'm going to start doing gigs in Brooklyn and get like real gigs. But it was all set up. And then the day before what was supposed to be the party, the club closed down. I found out because I called and nobody was picking up the phone. And then I found it online, like a thing that said, like, permanently closed. And it just had closed. And, like, I remember, you know, I had to cancel the event. I was so upset about it. And my friend Nick had commented on it. And he was like, it's like, Doug, you're supposed to bring the house down at the show, not before it actually happens.
You guys must have encountered this before as DJs. But, like, you get to, like, control hookups. Like,
very
you get
much.
To make hookups happen or not happen.
Oh, that was the whole deal with the Teenage Guide to Popularity. The parties that we would throw were called the music video makeout parties, because the idea was that we were going to, when it started, we would play music videos in particular that were kind of sensuous, like just shit. Like, I mean, the whole thing started, we take our name from the video for the song Popular.
Yeah, Not a Surf.
Which is like it's like a high school video, and there's like all this, like, just lots of like making out and stuff like that. And that was kind of the idea that Alicia and I had. It's like, it'd be cool to like throw a party as adults, because we used to watch these as kids and be like, oh man, it'd be so cool to be like a teenager. And it's funny that to be two people in our 20s and to be throwing this kind of party as almost like a revenge over like that idea of like, yeah, now we're in our 20s, now we're throwing parties where people are gonna just do this all the time. So yeah, we would do that, and lots of people would come and lots of people would make out.
When I was in middle school and subsequently in high school, I got to go on these retreats for a bunch of young Jewish kids.
Yeah.
And it was called Young Judea. And I'm not certain how I got roped into
another makeout session, if you're wondering.
Basically, I got into it with the hopes, or my parents' hopes, that I would get more in touch with kids who shared my religion. It was a perfect way to, you know, get chummy with women not from my area, because they would socialize kids from other areas of the Northeast. And I remember there will be a number of occasions, probably two or three different occasions, and definitely one at this campsite. And I was taking it upon myself to DJ the party time section. Yeah. The party time section of the festivities sometime after Shabbos or something. So yeah. It must have been like the Saturday night. And a lot of pressure because I'm not really well liked.
I like you, man.
No, I'm not hated. I'm not well liked.
I had a problem. I was not well liked.
But that, here I am.
That phrase.
But here
to,
I am.
To ensure any story.
Yeah. Here I am, this tiny pipsqueak, big-nosed Jewish kid trying to...
At this party with other people that were not of similar characteristic?
They just weren't really into me. Like, I wasn't a stud muphin who... I okay, just had
my... because these phrases like stud muffin is why
I know,
you have
how did
one.
It not happen for you?
I had my CD books, and there was a stereo, so I would just throw in a CD, and I would scramble to put the CD in. I would have the tracks all ready to go. But I had to...
Like, yeah, hold on to your yarmulkes.
Five seconds, the CD has to go on. 5 seconds, go on. And I remember there was a huge amount of pressure to get people dancing. And I... Oh, God. That was a pressure that I feel like I did not need to put upon myself. There was definitely times where it was like, this song sucks. Or, you know, people being critics.
Well, especially kids are not afraid of telling you how they feel about something.
Yeah. Exactly.
I did a middle school dance or two during that mobile DJ period of my high school years. And even though I was pretty close in age to the middle school kids, like I was a junior in high school, it's like 4 years apart, and I figured I knew what they were into. Did not.
Yeah, they were like
they had no
get
problem.
Off the decks, Grandpa.
Yeah. They had no problem. They had no problem telling me that. Also, the parents would come tell me like when they weren't into it, and I was like, how is this your job?
Yeah.
I can smell the mothballs coming out of your jeans, oh man. Yeah. Please play something a little more current. Thank you.
Can I get you a walker?
When I was in middle school, I would DJ like friends' parties and stuff. And what I would do is I would bring two CD players and just have it like that. That's how I would go back and forth.
Mm.
Yeah, all the way through high school and the beginning of college. Believe it or not,
Serato's have been introduced probably at that point.
Well, this is the thing I used to do is that so back when I was using Ableton, like where I got started, I didn't have a laptop back then. So what I would do. Is I would go to bars, like I said, like I DJed at Freddy's, and I also DJed at parties at people's houses and stuff like that. But what I would do is I would bring my entire desktop setup.
Now that's a DJ rig.
Yeah, like that. I had one of those towers that wasn't like one of those thin ones. It was one of those big, fat 1995 ones. You know,
I wish
like,
that you carried it in a milk crate, like those records.
Yeah, like no, I did actually. I mean, like I would come by and like so I'd have to put up the fucking monitor, and you can't just use the mouse or whatever. So you'd have to have the keyboard set up and everything. So I literally would have a desk of shit, like an office, just so that I could DJ or whatever. It was really like, I wish somebody had photos of this because this setup was so preposterous.
I have good news for you. They're right here. The photos.
This is your life.
Bring on our special guest.
And here's you on the toilet as well. We've got them all.
I'm sure somebody has them though. That's pretty awesome.
I used to do that. Like I remember it just looked so ridiculous of somebody just pointing out towards like, you got this whole fucking setup and then you also have this fucking $2 surge protector to all this stuff plugged into it. And stuff.
You know the
fire hazard.
The power glove, the Nintendo power glove thing from like the 80s, you were talking about?
Is it so bad?
Yes.
I just wish that was like you could somehow integrate that into a DJ setup and you're like, oh, you oh my God, he's part of the machine. Like he's in the song.
You could probably do that with Arduino or Raspberry Pi or something now, but I wouldn't know where to start with it.
What are those?
Those are both open source hardware products where you can make things, and if you have something that can send it a signal, like a power glove, then you could program your open source hardware to do whatever you wanted with that signal.
That is
theory.
That is hacking.
So I guess you could say that.
In a good way.
People have used it to build...
involve the power glove, it's going to definitely be
a good way. People have used it to build like emulators that play old Nintendo games and stuff.
Sure.
If you can find the emulation online, then you can build it in Raspberry Pi system and you can do lots of stuff with it.
We got to switch gears. When we come back after this quick break, we will get into the heart of the matter or the, something of that variety. I'm not sure.
Stick with the heart of the matter.
Heart of the matter.
Heart cockles.
Lost and Rewound.
Radio Free Brooklyn.
So we're all men. We're all of
We're not
age.
All men.
Manly men.
Listeners are not all men.
Everybody in this room right
are
now.
Are male, yes.
Are male.
Whoa. Yeah.
And we awesome. Have experienced at one point in our maybe not so graceful growing up periods a certain discovery of pornographic material.
Now,
in the spirit of what I was getting to earlier with the Mariah Carey, we you know being aroused,
right?
In terms of,
are you aroused?
I'm curious to get kind of an understanding as what our first experiences were with porn. Is that if that isn't too much
well,
to
the,
throw on the table?
The devil came in. And he whispered fire and poison into my ear.
Let me break it down like this. When I was in eighth grade, my father was very concerned that I was so upset after a basketball game that he pulled us over at the gas station. He went in to get his...
I don't like where the store is going.
He got his... he went and got some gas. He got his, like, sugar high with some yodels or whatever. And he brought inside the car... After I had lost this game for the team and was miserable, a February edition of Playboy magazine.
That's such a ridiculous story. I know you lost, kid, but like, why don't you crank one out? Get over it.
So, okay, so he gave you a Playboy. You were 13?
Yeah, 13 or 14. In the spirit of Lost and Rewound, where we uncover the mysteries of audio form.
These are our mysteries that don't need uncovering necessarily.
Apparently, it was not the first time that I actually got a chance to read a pornographic magazine. This is an exclusive and really freaking
awkward.
Wow,
this is like this is a really, 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 really exclusive.
Puta's coming. Here we go. Woo!
Pussy Puta's, man! We have to sell Miss January. Now we'll go to...
I haven't seen January.
Don't worry about that. You see, my friends are kind of pornographic. And you see, whenever I do the Danziger Zone, I have to go along with what they do, and I can't be the boss. So I just let them do this, and well, you can guess what's happening now. Well, I don't think you should listen to this. Bye.
But she's like more sexier.
Oh, God, this is so sick. I remember, yes, I remember back then, a year ago, when I was so... When I had this urge, because, you know, it's that time. It's that time when you do that. You know, it all comes in a boy's life, you know. Girls don't understand, though. You know, that's the thing. Anyway, well, you can understand it now. Well, the truth of the matter is that we don't want to listen to this crap. It sucks.
Face, how you doing?
Oh, God. Oh, man, this sucks.
You know, actually, to tell you the truth, I think the editing thing could actually be called the High Fidelity Spying Agency because you're kind of editing this stuff in a way.
I think that's one of the best, Miss July.
Oh, shut up, you. I mean, me, or, whatever.
Nice for you, man. Big boobs, too.
Some dogs. That's sure. Wee. Oh, wow. To be is to do. To do is to be. To be is to do. To do is to be. Dooby 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 doo doo.
I have no idea what that's
about. All right, so could you please explain to me what I just heard?
Yeah, how did you know you had pornography in your hand?
Well, there was very much a reference to Hooters in the very beginning, and then I'm talking about Miss July, and there's a lot of objectifying for you know, what a typical 13, 14-year-old would do when presented with a naked woman's body.
Right.
Did you ever get one of those nudie pens?
I don't think so.
Where the clothes fall off?
Oh, yeah, come on, man.
That wasn't enough for me.
No, I definitely remember that there was, like, we got our hands on a nudie pen when we were kids, and... We were way too happy. it was exciting for way too long.
Yeah.
So
well,
were you referencing Hooters the brand or Hooters the part of the body?
Or Hooters the nickname for now?
I'm thinking it was probably
the brand.
Yeah, exactly. I probably didn't even know what Hooters were. I think I just had heard that word, and I just was assuming that that was what boobs were.
Well, I ask because I think one of my early encounters with, you couldn't really call it porn, but Hooters had a magazine that
okay.
they would put out that had like a Hooters Girl of the Month. They were all wearing
really?
Swimsuits and stuff.
I don't even
but
think
it
I knew
was
about
like
that.
A little hotter than a Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition.
Sure.
But it was all supposed to be women who worked at Hooters.
Okay.
But in theory, they're probably just models who worked a bar shift one day so they could be counted as working at Hooters.
Have you guys actually ever been to Hooters?
I've been
once.
There.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have not.
One in Manhattan in Midtown.
Is like, it's just women?
It's just
are,
a pretty normal restaurant.
Yeah. The wings are unremarkable.
With female staff.
Just, yeah, exactly. It's basically just that. That is literally it. It's just, it's a restaurant with female staff.
Exactly.
Okay. Fair enough. That's sort of what I,
working,
what I assumed.
Working support
it was.
In general?
Yeah. But working while female. Yeah.
But this was a very specific time in our lives where we had internet, AOL. We were beginning to realize that the internet as
power
avenue,
of the internet.
Exactly,
yeah.
The internet is for porn kind of thing going on. And so we just began to discover, as young men did, to figure out where they got their porn. And back then, it was all about which celebrities are nude, like which like nude celebrity scenes can I find?
Yeah.
And no one's talking.
You're not asking any questions. What's the question?
I'm curious what our first experiences were.
Oh, okay.
Well, mine were not online. Like I mentioned, that Hooters magazine. But then also, when I was in fourth or fifth grade, we found an issue of Easy Rider, which is a motorcycle magazine. But gentlemen would send in topless photos of their old ladies sitting on a motorcycle.
Wow.
So there was that.
How did you come across that?
Well, I feel like it's a cliche to say that you found it in the woods, but we literally did. Wow. Like, there was in my hometown in Maryland, there's a bike path that goes various places.
Sure.
But there's also,
dirty
like,
places.
There's also, like, a
lecherous places.
Just like a walk path from some of the roads into the bike path.
Does one bike path say 18 plus?
Yes. No. 18 wheels. No, that doesn't make sense. And so it was on one of these, like, sideways to the bike path. Someone had just, like, chucked it.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh, my God, amazing.
Yeah, yeah. My first experience with that would be TV-based discovery. It's kind of similar to what you were just saying in the sense that you would be, like, looking for any type of nude scene in a film or something like that or whatever in that like online, because with me it would be more like I had like every movie channel, I had like every HBO, every Showtime, every Cinemax, so I would just basically like there'd be some movies in particular where
yep.
I knew there'd be like a sex scene or something like that, so I would maybe check that out, maybe tape it, watch it again later.
I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, and
watching entire films
just
for, because I heard there was a sex scene in there.
Can we
very,
say
very
I recall
thing.
Watching Just One of the Guys for that exact reason.
I watched Swordfish for that reason.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Definitely.
That movie was awful.
It's a bad movie.
Awful movie.
And then, I mean, no offense, Halle Berry, but I mean...
I mean...
I was like, I watched the whole movie for this?
I couldn't... Yeah, exactly.
There was just a really short scene of nudity, I think. See, for me,
yeah.
It wasn't... Nudes weren't enough. I needed to have a sex scene in order
sure.
for
my God,
to be
but,
satisfied.
But sex scenes and just the... I mean... They don't, like, scientifically, they don't work. There's just, if you look at the angles and, like...
Right, but in a way, they were, like, some were done in a way that was, like, because... You know, maybe in a way, the fact that it didn't work, it was sexy because it was just sort of, like, how are they doing it?
I got
and it. We were at that age before we really knew.
And, yeah, you didn't know, so it would be like, yeah, all right, that
you
makes sense.
Added an air of mystery to the whole
sure,
thing.
To the whole sex
I
thing.
I gotta give Spin Magazine credit for this, but they put out... around the time The Faculty came out with
yep.
Elijah Wood and Jordana Brewster
for
and
sure.
Jon Stewart, incidentally, also played one
right.
of the teachers. But they were creating this list. They curated this huge list of all B-movies, and they had like a legend that said how many different elements of these certain tropes occur in this such a movie. So like Rumblefish, for example, and Meatballs, and Animal House, Fast Times at Ridgemont High. I would not have even known about that movie had it not been mentioned. And just the mentioning of Phoebe Cates, I'm like, checkbook. Yep, doing that. Let's
yeah.
go. Checkmate.
It's funny. A friend of mine checkbook. Used to work at her...
checkbook.
Checkbook. Checkbook, please.
In my book, I have checked off yeah. this movie.
Yeah.
That's,
but,
a, that's a new one.
Thank you.
Phoebe Kate. It's funny. My friend Aubrey worked in her boutique for several years.
Oh.
Yeah.
You know, was another movie like that? Wild Things.
Yeah.
Yeah, Wild Things
was
like,
bring that up.
That's like the king of the B movies. Like, yeah. It has all of the tropes.
Cruel Intentions, too, I felt.
Yeah, Cruel Intentions was like very, like, it was just like.
Titillating.
Yeah, it was just a very titillating movie.
What was the name of the women in Wild Things? Because both of them are doing
Nev Campbell and Denise Richards.
Yeah. I've never seen them again, really.
I was just thinking of Cruel Intentions. I went to see that in high school with my girlfriend, and her mom drove us there and was going to see another movie.
Oh, okay.
But then she couldn't. She didn't like that movie.
Oh, no.
So she left and watched Cruel Intentions.
No.
But we didn't. She sat in front of us. We didn't see her, and we didn't know until we were walking out that she had been in there watching it. So then it was really awkward.
Yeah.
Wait, did you have Cruel Intentions, though?
I did not. My intentions were good.
One of my first movies that I ever saw on a date, it was actually, I think it was the first girl I ever dated. We went and saw Private Parts, that Howard Stern
biopic.
And there's plenty of, it's very risque, obviously, because it's Howard Stern.
Yeah.
But probably not the best movie to go to see when you're 14 with a first girlfriend kind
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah, the first time I went on a...
yeah, it's a weird picky.
Yeah, the first...
It was out of that of The Saint with Val Kilmer.
Ooh, that would have been cool. You know, the first date I ever went on was to see the movie Red Dragon.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And we walked into the wrong theater. In other words, it was playing Red Dragon. But we walked in an hour into the movie. And because we were running late, we figured the movie must have just started. And we were 2 minutes into it. But in fact, we were about 62 minutes into it. You know, it was like the wrong time. So it took us a while to realize that we're like, this is so confusing. Why is this weird? And why are like main characters dying already? And then we realized that we're like, oh, we're in the wrong theater. We watched it at the wrong time.
I had a hilarious one where I took a girl to see Anchorman.
Yeah.
And I knew nothing about it. It was before it had any hype. It was just like, hey, and it was like the first of those Will Ferrell movies.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Old School had just come out. And this was like his own vehicle, one of his first vehicles, yeah. Right? And we went to see it. And I remember we went like to make out in the theater.
Yeah.
And we'd already been dating a little bit. And then we started making out. And like within 15 minutes of that movie, it was so funny.
That you could.
We just looked at each other and go, do we want to just watch? And
yeah, then
like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Let's just make out later. Like, this is funny. Like, we spent money. Like, this is like, he just said Knights of Columbus, that hurts. Like, this is good.
Yeah, I used to go, yeah, to movies just to make out. Like, I mean, I saw, like, the really bad Jim Carrey movie, number 23.
Oh, God. When I was, that like, must have been awful.
Yeah, and I was, like, 19, I think, when that came out. But I was still doing that, going to movies and making out in the theater. That was... Yeah, that was very bad.
I want to say that I did that with the second time that I saw House on a Haunted Hill. House on the Haunted Hill, whatever it was called. House on Haunted Hill.
No, the.
Because apparently I saw it twice only because I was requested by the girl I was seeing then at that time to come and check it out. Actually, let us go on this topic of
Haunted Hills?
Coupling up.
Okay.
this is something that maybe Doug and I could relate to as the clip reads.
As
I
resident
know,
couples.
I know nothing about marriage is the name of this file.
Fair enough.
Listen right now to all the old zombie himself, Kurt Cobain. God. He's pretty pissed off. Hurry. Yeah. Well, this weekend, there's going to be a wedding. From the Danziger family. Yes, yours truly, Zomaster himself will. Zoman will be, you know, attending it, seeing how it works. Suicide, yeah. No, I wouldn't be suicide at a wedding. That would make everyone weird. Anyway, so. So, yes, we're going to a wedding. And, you know, it should be cool. But you don't have to wear all that weird, gunky suit stuff. That makes me really pissed off because we have to spend $20 on clothes at some weird Bloomingdale's shit store. I don't know what I'm talking about, but that's the truth. It is the truth, I say. Oh! As I was saying, so yes, it's true. go to a wedding, and we spend a lot of clothes. We spend a lot of money going to the wedding. We give the bride and the groom a lot of money so we can go to their wedding because they need their insurance money. It's weird, huh? It's weird how it all works out, going to a wedding. It's the nicest thing. Not just pouring. You lose all your money from just going to see someone get love. And I wouldn't be surprised if they just get down on the floor. Get down on the floor and, you know, do all the kinds of things. Let me see here. There's feel, there's bite, there's blow, there's... a lot of cool traits in the act of sex. I can just imagine black and white, the colors of the wind. Blowing is wind. We should also sell black and white condoms at the wedding. That would be really cool. I wonder if rice gets into their eyes when they really go down the aisle. Man, that must hurt.
This kid hates weddings.
That was fascinating. You were playing Milk It by Nirvana in the background.
So the car that I was in was owned by Cheryl Kurash, who was my former godmother. My godparents, who I used to have when I was younger, they lived out in Stony Brook.
Oh, wow.
And so the wedding was in Long Island. We were hanging out with my godparents for a bit while we were out in that neck of the woods.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the music that they listened to.
So you were recording yourself in the car.
That's correct.
And
no one turned around to say anything when you started talking about biting and blowing?
I mean, you heard me.
No.
I made a very clear shit there. And
yeah. You're fucking edgy, man.
Yeah, yeah. Very
Bloomingdale's
like,
is shit.
Exactly.
Fuck weddings.
Condoms.
Exactly. I had a feeling that maybe I gave myself more of the liberty to speak freely because neither my mother or my father were in the car to pay attention to what I was saying.
Once you were on the tape recorder, it wasn't Elon anymore. It was Elon Thunder.
It is rather amusing to hear that, especially since that wedding that I went to bring it back to what you were talking about dancing. That was the first wedding I can honestly remember where I was dancing up a storm.
Yeah.
That's where I got my start, dancing.
I probably did the same.
In weddings.
Yeah, I probably did the same, to be honest. I would go to family weddings. I wasn't drinking when I was a kid, you know, but like where I just started to like kind of cut loose.
Exactly.
And whatever. That's kind of where I started.
Too many Shirley Temples.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's probably where it all begins with me as well in terms
right.
of that. Because I mean, as much like yourself, I love to go out and dance it up a bit. Although I don't do it professionally on any level.
Right.
But, yeah.
He likes to get down. He likes to boogie.
Exactly.
It's precisely, yes.
I didn't really like get a chance to appreciate that at that age, I guess, was the fact that we get free food. We get a whole entire night to drink as much as we want in theory.
Yeah.
You know, different times back then.
The weddings are the best. I DJ weddings.
You do DJ weddings.
I do, yeah.
Do you DJ a wedding recently?
Last one I did was in November. It's kind of the dead season right now, but wedding season starts in April.
Yeah, I learned that from Wedding Crashers.
It's fun. I get free drinks and stuff like that. Because that's the thing. I'd like to drink while I'm DJing because I like to get a little bit like on their level. Because it's a little weird if you're just completely stone cold sober and like you're trying to like DJ for drunk people. It's like you have to become the drunk person.
I've never like hooked up or had any sort of relationship with someone that I met at a wedding because by the time I started going to friends' weddings, I was already with my now wife. So,
yeah.
You know, but before our wedding, all the weddings that we would go to obviously were, you know, I was coupled up and every other wedding before that was all family weddings.
Right. I never hooked up at a wedding I was a guest at, but as a DJ a couple of times after.
Yeah, there you go.
Fresh.
That's why you become a DJ in the first place, right? You're like, yeah, it's all about the music.
Get real, yeah.
Jimmy is convulsing here in the studio, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, no, it's there was one wedding I did over the summer in particular where that had happened, but
yeah.
where I ended up DJing the after party, like where we just went to a restaurant, but it was just us. We rented out the whole place. And they were like, could he hook up his laptop to like the speakers or whatever? So they were like, oh, we're not sure. But I'm like, oh, I got this. And I went back and I like unplugged a billion things and found the thing to go in there. So it was really cool. I DJed from the actual bar like that was at this restaurant or whatever. So people were like dancing in the place and I had them turn the lights down until I kept turning it up and up until where all the restaurant speakers blew out.
They must have loved you.
Oh, yeah. But the thing is, they didn't realize. They thought I just finished. And I was just like, oh, I guess I got to go. And then I made out with a bridesmaid. And that was it.
Holler.
So it was a real, night.
From that clip, we heard basically a totally infantile concept of what weddings are like in terms of relationship. And I was curious if there was anything that stuck out.
Oh, man.
Because evidently everything stuck out.
Well,
there.
It certainly seemed very... what's the word? I'm sick, so I'm trying to
learn. Very cynical.
That's exactly what I'm trying to figure out. Yeah.
It's angsty.
Very cynical at such a young age about weddings. Yeah. Obviously, you're not anymore. You are a married man. Did you have a wedding that was like a wedding, or was it
a very cynical wedding?
Yeah, like what was it like?
It's a good question, actually. It was very DIY in a lot of respects, and in full disclosure. Doug here, Doug Johnson, was the DJ for that wedding.
Oh, okay,
yeah,
cool.
So, fully disclosed, when he starts bashing the DJ, that's me.
I remember, actually, it was a lot of fun collaborating with you on, like, records to play. You have, obviously, an expansive record collection. Mine, not so expansive. So, it was really nice to be able to put heads to work and see what of mine you would want to play around with and see.
I started from yours and your wife's record collection and then brought mine in. And the one tip I could give to anybody who's DJing a wedding is to, if you're involved in the wedding also, like I was in your salon, to go around at the rehearsal dinner the night before, anytime you see anybody from the wedding, and just make notes of their request then.
Yeah.
So you can make sure you have them. They're not hounding you about it during the actual thing.
Precisely.
And you can put them in an order that you like, and you know that people will hear the songs they want.
Right.
That was the first time I decided to pay for Spotify. Was so that I could get all the songs I needed for your wedding.
Nice.
I'm very adamant about just being very much in touch with the bride and groom ahead of time and talking about everything they like and dislike. But in general, I don't take requests from the guests unless they fit the vibe that the bride and groom has already laid out. Because if you just let everybody just start requesting everything, you're just going to have like chaos and it's not going to, you know. DJing is DJing. It's not just simply just being like, here's a song, you know. But that's kind of my motto with that. Or my thing for people who like say, can I have a request? And or do you take requests? The way to sort of deflect that is to always just say like, yeah, if it's good. And then that's it, you know. Like, because then they get kind of shaken up. They're like, oh, they get a little bit humbled by that. So that's kind of... my trick. Not my trick. It's my friend Serene's trick, but I take it from him.
The only request that I put off playing at your wedding was Pharrell Happy. Didn't fit at all.
Yeah.
And like, it's not a song I like. So I put it off for as long as I could until whoever it was that I requested it came up to me for like the third or fourth time and was like, when are you going to play it?
That's
so I played it at the end right after Pony.
Oh, nice.
That's awesome.
Pony, happy. But yeah, that song was big at weddings for like a minute, but I feel like it's already been phased out. Happy, that is. Pony will always work.
Happy's done. It's already on its last leg.
Yeah. Good riddance.
Well, this was a couple years ago now, so.
How has Hey Ya aged?
Hey Ya still kills it. It's not always requested, but that's actually why it's even better to play, because a lot of people do kind of forget about it. It's right in that zone, because when it came out in 2003, I think.
Yeah.
It's right in that sort of zone of being so, like, so old that, like, it's just old enough in which people kind of forget it, but not old enough in which it has the sort of real heavy nostalgia. Like, it's nostalgic, but it's like, it's not like when you play an Ace of Base song and it has, like, a heavy nostalgia thing. It's right in this sort of dead zone. It's really ripe, actually, because it's not overplayed anymore at this point, because it's completely out of its being played on radio for quite some time at this point. But it's not quite old enough in which it's like overplayed at these type of events yet. So it really is actually tip to all DJs that Hey Ya is very much ripe for.
That was the like second to last song we played at my wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And that was when we blew the speakers. Or rather, clipped the amp. So the song stopped in the middle. My head almost exploded.
Yeah.
We had a band there. Shout out to Blah Blah Blah.
Uh-huh. They were fantastic.
The best. And they picked up playing it.
No way.
And it was killer.
That's really cool.
And, yeah, Clutch. It was a blast. It was like everyone was, they were playing and everyone was singing along.
So you had a band and a DJ.
Yeah, we had them play their original music. So they did like an hour-long set, and then we just had playlists.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, we had both.
I feel like Outkast is one of those bands, though, that is going to be timeless. Give it another 10 years, and people will be like, oh, yeah, Outkast, play it.
They kept on improving on their sound. I mean, they started really strong, and then they just kept on advancing.
Yeah, it became more and more theirs.
Yeah.
I feel like people who don't like that genre of music in general will be like, oh, yeah, but Outkast, I like those songs, though.
It's pretty much already there, yeah, but it'll be even more so, like, every person that exists will just be like, always look at that as being like, oh, yeah, that's good.
We got to get out of here in a little bit. Before we go, I definitely did want to glaze over Doug Johnson's project that is on Mixcloud. Is there any update on One Record a Week at all?
Oh, yeah, it's still going strong on Instagram, Snaps and Hooks, and buy One Record a Week. Put it on Instagram, maybe talk a little bit about why I thought it was interesting or special. And every 6 months or so, I collect them, put a mix out on Mixcloud. It's also Mixcloud Snaps and Hooks. And the next one should be out in April-ish.
Cool. So be on the lookout for that. Pledgy, you've got obviously
Young
some
Adult
stuff
Friction
coming up.
Young Adult Friction's the indie alt dance party that is either going to be March 3rd or March 4th. It depends on Cool Keith. Which date he takes and which date I take at El Cortez in Brooklyn.
Try to go before because he's going to tear the place down.
And Jimmy, you have anything coming up? You got the Jeet Jet Sunday night open mic?
Yeah, it's going to be this coming Sunday.
Yes.
And I'll be hosting. That's on 20th, between 20th and 21st Street on Fifth Avenue.
Nice.
In what is Park Slope, South Slope, Sunset Park, South Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Whatever that is. Real estate heads. That's 9 o'clock Sunday night. Come out. Musicians, poets.
Yeah.
Jazz tap dancers. You know.
And quick plug for me, because normally I don't have anything coming up, but I actually on March 5th at Tilt in Bushwick. New bar that just opened up over on McKibben Street off Morgan Avenue. I've been slated to read for a teen angst journal entries hour. Everyone's going to be like reading old journal entries and dressing up like their old middle school selves. So if you weren't already convinced that I'm knee deep in this shit, I'm doing it in a totally more active level than just here in the studio with Doug Bledgy, Doug Johnson, and of course, Jimmy, the voice of God Hoffman.
Jimmy the Toolman Hoffman.
Thanks so much to the Dougs here in the studio with us here this week for Lost and Rewound.
Pleasure.
Thank you, guys. Catch us again next week, Thursday, 3 p.m. right here on Radio Free Brooklyn.
Bye-bye. Thanks so much, guys.
There's like the thing isn't all like,
hey, you fucker.
Yeah, just emerges all. All right.
Going back to my shrimp.
That was okay.
All right.
Everybody stretch.
Stretch break. Is everybody's phone on silent, by the way?
Yeah, buddy.
I always put my phone up as loud as possible, hoping that I'm going to get a call because I'm like, I'm preparing a bit.
Because you want to seem important?
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm sorry, I have to take this.
Excuse me. Oh my God, it's my dog. There's a crazy mystery going
your
on.
Your dog called? Scooby-Doo?
Yeah, this kind of, he's in the back of my van.
Scrappy-Doo.